أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will continue with our tafsir of Surah An-Naziat with Ayah 13, inshallah ta'ala. As we recall, we were seeing the happenings at the Day of Judgment, the regrets of the people and their condition of guilt for not doing anything when they had time and health and their admittance of them being losers. In Ayah 13, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجِرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ But it will be only a single zajra, shout, that is the second blowing of the trumpet. Zajr is scolding, severe scolding. See, when sometimes kids do not listen to their parents and father give them one loud angry scolding and they obey right away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are called towards me when they were in the world. They were called for their tazkir. They were called addressing Ya ayyuhan nas or whatever could be said was said. But they did not pay any attention, not even a bit of it. And now when the sound of trumpet of the day of judgment, then they will come to know the reality they never paid attention to. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ When behold, they find themselves on the surface of the earth alive after their death. Sahira is the surface of the earth. Why it is called Sahira? Because every living thing living and sleeping is on it. One more tafsir is done for it is because of the fear of deserts and because of the plain barren lands with no vegetation, people will lose their sleep and they stay awake there. That is why it is called Sahira. What it means is that with one zajra of Qiyamah, everyone will gather at one place. You can understand like there is one big alarm. And the moment it goes off, everyone gathers at one place. Notice Qiyamah was being discussed, but right in the middle, Musa alayhi salam is being mentioned. Hal ataka hadithu Musa? Has there come to you the story of Musa alayhi salam? Iz nadahu rabbuhu bilwadi al-muqaddasi tuwa. When his Lord called him in the sacred valley of Tuwa, how did all of a sudden Musa alayhi salam is mentioned here? Actually, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with Musa alayhi salam, then his people denied him too. It is pointing towards that. Story is the same. Musa alayhi salam was going to Misr from Madian, arrived at Kohetur in search of fire. There, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him from behind a tree. Here, Tuwa is used meaning a dialogue. Mutual talking. There Musa alayhi salam had conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what was said? Idhhab ila fir'auna innahu tagha. Go to Fir'aun. Verily he has transgressed all bounds in crimes, sins, polytheism, disbelief. Faqul hal laka ila an tazakka. And say to him, would you purify yourself from the sin of disbelief by becoming a believer? Note this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending Musa alayhi salam to the Firaun of that time and telling Musa alayhi salam to say what? That do your correction, islah. Not that cut his throat with your sword. First dawah and then any threat. First we'll try to help them. Do their islah, then later a fight or whatever necessary step needed to be taken. وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَىٰ And that I guide you to your Lord, so you should fear him. What a beautiful style. We'll speak to Firaun about his Rabb and not of yours Rabb. He has transgressed all bounds, so ask him if he wants to do his correction. What does it mean by correction here? Meaning, become a Muslim be submissive, surrender yourself, listen what is said. May you develop the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may you learn the way of Tawheed and worship. This shows that we should not be disappointed with the islah of anyone. So Musa alayhi salam did whatever he was told.
فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى
Then Musa alayhi salam showed him the great signs, miracles. What were they? عَسَى and يَدِ بَيْضَى But
فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى
But Fir'aun belied and disobeyed.
ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى
Then he turned his back, striving against Allah. Striving means trying against Musa alayhi salam. Then,
فَحَشَرَ
Then he gathered his people,
فَنَادَى
And cried aloud. It is pointing towards when Fir'aun gathered all magicians against Musa alayhi salam. What did he say after doing everything?
فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى
Saying, I am your Lord, Most High. Meaning, there are more lords, but I am the prestigious and most high among all. See here, this is the doing of Fir'aun. Right, he is portrayed as someone from the culture denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gathered everyone against Musa alayhi salam. And if you see, nowadays this thing is done by the media. Then Fir'aun was making such laws which was outwriting Musa alayhi salam's sharia. In this day and age, everyone has given that right in the name of democracy. Through voting, you can choose non-Islamic things. The claim of Ana Rabbukumul A'la has become done all the time by everyone who thinks of himself above all. Fir'aun took pride on his things. Now our nafs tells us the same. That I am your Ana Rabbukumul A'la. Obey me. Listen to me. Do what I tell you. So nowadays, non-Islamic way of selection and the ways of governing a country, all of them are symbolized here. That all of the Fir'aun's struggle was to push back the system Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down and to bring his system up front. But see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Musa alayhi salam, and that is mentioned now. That Fir'aun gathered all of his reasons, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted something else.
فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى
So Allah seized him with punishment for his last and first transgression. Meaning he was drowned in the sea and was made a lesson for everyone.
إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى
Verily, in this is an instructive admonition of whosoever fears Allah. Here the second part of the surah finished. So what did we understand? There is a consolation, a comfort for Prophet ﷺ in this story. That if they are not paying attention what you are telling them, if they are not listening to you, then Musa alayhi salam was also ignored and disobeyed. It is also a warning for Kufari Makkah too. That if you did not obey, whatever Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling you, then face the same consequences what Fir'aun faced after disobeying Musa alayhi salam. We should also think here that no one should think of herself above all just because she has some powers. By relating the story of Musa alayhi salam, did Kufari Makkah took some of the warnings, right? As we learn from other people's end results, only if we have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second thing we learn from this is that only the person who will listen or read Quran for herself will take lesson from it. Whoever will listen with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her heart and will be committed to put into action. Many people recite Quran. You will be amazed to hear that the first English translation was done by a non-Muslim because they do the research.
Christians did translation of Bible in Gujarati so they could go in that part of India to preach Christianity there. But now the question is, as a Muslim, what we do for Islam? Just remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can get his work done by anyone. Reciting Quran is not a big thing. It is how much God-fearing the goodness we have after its recitation. We should check our hearts right now as we are reciting such amazing ayahs in which people with the worst end results were discussed. And after that, did we feel any layer in our hearts? Listening about Qiyamah so often, did we got comfortable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلُوبٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ وَاجِفَةٌ. Some hearts that day will shake with fear and anxiety. It will be the hearts of munafiqeen and kafirin, whereas the hearts of mu'mineen will be content. As it is mentioned in Surah Anbiya, Ayah 103, لَا يَحْزُنُهُمُ الْفَزَعُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَتَتَلَقَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ هَذَا يَوْمُكُمُ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. The greatest terror on the day of resurrection will not grieve them, and the angels will meet them with the greeting. This is your day, which you were promised, that the day of fear and anxiety will not bother mu'mineen, as angels will take care of them, will give them glad tidings. So need of the hour is to fear Allah now. And if we did fear Him today, then وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. But for him who fears the standing before his Lord, there will be two gardens, that is in paradise. See, if you are very angry and are scolding your child, and the moment you see him scared, you hug him, right? Right away you hug him. We cannot see, we cannot bear the tears in our kids' eyes. We are human and He is Allah, He is Almighty. So we have to focus on that. Then there's a small question in these ayahs, that why it is called Tuwa? Because sometimes we say it was Valley of Tri and it was Mount Tur. It has different meanings. Blessed Valley whose name was Tuwa, why? It is said it is the valley which was blessed twice. First time it was blessed when Musa alayhi salam was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second time when Musa alayhi salam brought Bani Israel from Egypt to the valley. Tuwa is also connected with night. Some say that at night he was called upon in the valley of Tuwa. So there is a phrase in Arabic language, Ja'a ba'da Tuwa, meaning so-and-so came to me after spending a part of the night. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Then saying, so you should fear him. Let's talk about this a little. It looks like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Musa alayhi salam in his first conversation to go to Firaun. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to go? In second. First was, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And in second he was told, قم فأنذر. Right? So there were two big purposes of Musa alayhi salam's prophethood. It is pointing towards that. Fir'aun was the diabolical figure of that time. He forbade people from Allah's deen and sharia. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the target, because when elites get the deen, then others get it automatically. And second thing, if Fir'aun was corrected, then others will be corrected itself too. Right? So after all of this, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pointing towards the signs of the universe. And this is the beautiful way that sometimes take lesson from the history and sometimes from the present, meaning from your surroundings. So while listening to this, we will also ponder over it. أَأَنتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا.
are you more difficult to create, or is the heaven that he constructed? Ask, you tell me, which one is more difficult? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is impossible and difficult. Neither sky nor our creation. But if we see through our point of view, then creation of the sky is more difficult. We are just a small creation while sky is huge. So the Rabb who created sky, how difficult is for him to create us? It was said, he subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sky. And what did he subhanahu wa ta'ala do with it? Rafa'a samkaha fasawaha. He raised its height and has perfected it. Word samka is used for height. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ دُحَاهَا. Its night he covers with darkness, and its forenoon he brings out with light. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دُحَاهَا. And after that he spread the earth. From it we learned the step-by-step process that first sky was made, then earth was created. And earth was spread, made it absolutely straight. Then, أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. And brought forth therefrom its water and its pasture. مَاءَ is the water, and مَرْعَى is for the pasture which animals eat. وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. And the mountains he has fixed firmly. And then what was said? مَتَاعٍ لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. To be a provision and benefit for you and your cattle. Now let's explore all the things we were given to ponder. Word samkun is used for roof. Perfected it means that it was made the way it should have been. Not crooked from anywhere, no holes anywhere. And al-dasha, azlama and akhraja means abrasa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broadened it, brightened it. Word duhaha has been used in place of naharaha. Duha is jashed, as the day just started, and dahaha is to flatten the land. When we see the earth, we will notice that how flat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made for us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, think, concentrate after looking at them, that what will happen when Qiyamah will come. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. But when there comes the greatest catastrophe, that is the day of recompense, note a new name of Qiyamah came, الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. The day when man shall remember what he strove for. See, word سَعَى is used. What were the struggles? What were the efforts? وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And hellfire shall be made apparent in full view for everyone who sees. Jahannam will come right in front of us. Why it will be in front of non-believers? To show them their destination. Some say Mu'mins and Kuffar both will see. Why? So that Mu'mins feel the gratitude that they obeyed their Lord and will not enter in it. Kuffar will see and fear it. It becomes the source of the grief and regret for them. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. Then for him who transgressed all bounds in disbelief, oppression and evil deeds of disobedience to Allah. Write it down their first crime. This was their first crime. Then the second was, وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And preferred the life of this world by following their evil desires and lusts. They must have prioritized the world, right? So is there anyone among us? Is there any transgression in our lives? Is love of the world taking control of our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make no one among us
in these categories. Ameen, thum ameen. Then it was said, if anyone is like that, then فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Verily, his abode will be hellfire. Then Jahannam will give him resting space. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. In contrast, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَ النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. But as for him who feared standing before his Lord and restrained himself from impure evil desires and lusts, this is the theme of the surah. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Verily, paradise will be his abode. Qualities we must have to enter Jannah are خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ, feared standing before his Lord. نَهَ النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, restrained himself from impure evil desires and lusts. These are the two qualities, and whoever possesses them will qualify for Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. We should check ourselves that how much of these qualities we have. See, along with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the question, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the hour. When will be its appointed time? فِيمَ أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. You have no knowledge to say anything about it. Meaning, it's not your responsibility or job description to give news about Qiyamah to the people. إِلَى رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. To your Lord belongs the knowledge of the term thereof. That's it. Only he knows when will the Qiyamah come. Not even the Prophet. What is your status, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and what do you know? إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, are only a warner for those who fear it. Note this point, that whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, make them fear more of their Rabb. What we learned, that until we have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, we will not fear even by listening from Prophet himself. As far as the fact when Qiyamah will come, then كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ دُحَاهَا. The day they see it, it will be as if they had not tarried in this world except an afternoon or a morning. What we learned is, instead of asking questions, we have to do some work today. But the condition is that we have to develop the fear, the khashiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And whoever will remember akhirah, for him the world will not be a priority. Ashiyatan is the time from zuhur till the time of sunset. And duha time is from the time of sunrise till the middle of the day. When kuffar will see the punishment of Jahannam, they will forget the luxuries of this life. They will forget the enjoyments of their luxurious lives. They will feel as if they didn't even stay one full day in the world. They either stayed the first part of the day or the second part of it. Meaning, they will find the time they spend in this world very short. So this was the extent of dunya. Finished, gone. That's it. Whatever you wanted, you did while living in it. You see a rhythm in these surahs, right? Only one thing is mainly targeted. It seems like whatever was there to be said was said. Whatever was there to listen has been listened. And now make your firm belief that Qiyamah will come and is about to come. The more you believe in Qiyamah, the more you want to do amal. The biggest hurdle, the biggest problem of today is nahan nafsa anil hawa. No self-control. Nafs is worshipped. Too many desires, too many wishes, too many wants and too many needs. Let's listen to the tilawat of the ayahs. And while listening, please note what comes in our minds and later, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will do some discussion on it. We will also pray along the recitation that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this warning a source of nasiha, a source for us to take lesson from it. May we do not become ignorant, heedless and immune after listening the warnings about Qiyamah repeatedly. Ameen, summa ameen.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أئذا كنا فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالواد المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأوطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها وأوطش ليلها وأخرج ضحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى فأما من طغى يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها
يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى The day when man shall remember what he strived for. This is the real thing. See, we do not have any control over the results which occur due to yours and mine efforts. We work on our kids to the best of our ability, and yet we do not know how they will turn out, right? But you will be saved. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I will show what efforts, what struggles did you do. And I have noticed that in last paras, word ma sa'a is used very often. Then atqamatul kubra, big catastrophe, which will involve everyone in its destruction. It shows its intensity, its strength. Word atqamah has intensity within it, and especially when people will be judged. Book of Deeds will be handed over, inshallah wa ta'ala, in right hands. Here, I remember Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when someone talked bad about him, upon it he said, I only fear the three places. How will I die? Think of وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى. When Book of Deeds will be given, then in which hand I will get mine? And thirdly, how will I cross the bridge of Sirat, Pul Sirat? If I am saved from these three places, then I do not care what people talk about me. Why should I care much about their opinion? But if I am stuck at any of these places, then everyone has the right to talk about me. Now, should we live with that much careless attitude? We are so conscious about what people think about us. Just think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing Jahannam right in front. And the ayah, وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And hellfire shall be made apparent in full view for everyone who sees. Whoever transgressed, whoever chose to not believe and preferred worldly lifestyle. Just be honest. Is today's lifestyle not of athar al-hayat al-dunya? Our grief is, today's trial is, that we only live to worry about it. We are so happy the day we get any worldly success. And we are extremely sad when we experience any worldly grief. If we miss our zuhr or asr, we feel sad, but not that much what we will if we lose $1,000. Is it true or not? Loss of $1,000 or loss of Asr Salah? When our hearts sink, when we lose $1,000. And as far as Asr Salah is connected, we think it's okay, we will pray Qaza. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. Without restraining oneself from impure evil desires and lusts, we will not get Jannah. In a hadith, it is said, حُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. Jannah is surrounded by the things which are difficult on our nafs. Salah, fast, jihad, learning Allah's deen, these are all hindrances. All are difficult for our nafs. We do not want to do, but we have to do it. Huffat, surrounding, to cover. And
وَحُفَّتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ.
Jahannam is surrounded by evil desires. See, Jahannam is slippery. We imagine that Jannah and Jahannam is part of the same parking lot. One is on the right side and other is on the left. It is not at all like that. It is our misconception. Jannah is upward travel, and that is difficult. There is a friction. We have to maintain the speed. A little mistake can be costly. This is وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And you have to have four-wheel car. Have to keep up your brakes strong and have to have good control over them. Now imagine you wanted to go upwards and you turned off the car. Then what will happen? Obviously, car will fall down. This is Jahannam. From the valley of Mahshar, if you want to go in Jannah, then upwards. And it will be a struggle. But going to Jahannam is extremely easy, as you just have to lift your foot from the brake and you will fall straight down. But going to Jannah is وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. We will not get everything in this world. We cannot compete with this world. And the same lesson, we have to teach it to our kids. It is extremely sad nowadays that we do not want to see tears in our kids' eyes. And they should be granted Jannah too, right? Kids should be taught right from the very start that we are here in an examination hall and inshallah ta'ala, we will get everything in Jannah. Guide them towards the dreams of Jannah. What we will do there. What we will eat. How we will dress. So much so that they ache to go there. But if our kids start fighting with us upon their wishes, stay unfulfilled, then it will not work. We have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He subhanahu wa ta'ala can make our dunya Jannah. That will be His blessing. But we do not want to be deprived of Jannah at the Day of Judgment. It will be our biggest loss ever if we just made our dunya. Some say kids are used to while staying in Western countries. But the thing we have to consider is that how will they stay in Jahannam if they are so comfy of things here? Just teach your kids self-control. Teach them, think before you say, think before you eat, think before you do anything. Teach them to exercise tranquility, serenity, calmness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us realize the severity of the hour and grant us the wisdom and ability to take some actions now, which will beautify our dunya and beautify our akhirah too, inshallah wa ta'ala. Grant us the ability to harness and tame our nafs and to put brakes on our desires. Ameen, thumma ameen, ya rabbal alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.